Ladies and gentlemen, listeners and viewers, it's time for another episode of Disrupt Ed, where we talk to the seemingly ordinary people who are making an extraordinary impact out there in what I would describe as this 5G wired, workforce augmented, technology interconnected, globally interdependent, pandemic interrupted, AI accelerated, Web3, wow, world of work. And today we have an epic guest on with us, and it's none other than Jared Fink from Blazar and now from Cosmic Wire, who's going to help us unwind and unpack a lot of what's going on with an explosion of new technology. So, Jared, welcome to the show. It is so great to have you.
Thank you so much, Ron. It's great to be here. Happy to try to unpack.
So we're going to have you unpack in your basement high fidelity studio there. And the first thing I want you to do is Jared comes to us with an extraordinary background. Now, as I have it, he started out in med school, went on to become a very successful musician and recording artist, and then started working on the technology and is now working in Web3. So, Jared, if you might share a little bit more of the details of this extraordinary career journey that you've been on, because very few people could claim expertise and success in various fields as you have.
Well, yeah, thank you. It's been an interesting journey. My family's from a really small farm town in Washington called Odessa. And, I would say like, My entire background kind of started there, just learning kind of farm life. And when you live in those kind of environments, it's really just working and, you know, at the start of the day till the very end. And it really just kind of instilled a work ethic in me, because, you know, my family, we didn't come from a lot of money or anything. my dad actually worked the same job, you know, since he was 18 until he just retired. And so, you know, going to college for me was a big deal. And, you know, trying to find it and pave a path forward and pay for that, you know, was a big deal. And so I was spending most of my summers, you know, in the early 2000s, working down in Silicon Valley, doing a lot of tech startup stuff. I was doing SAP, sysadmin, hardware builds, doing cybersecurity for 1.5 million companies. The one I stayed at the longest was Nokia during that period. And that's kind of how I was paying for college. And like every other kid in college, I was playing in like a shitty Weezer rock band, kind of cover band thing and fun. And just doing the thing like we all do. I've been playing music my whole life.
You a rock star? You don't look like one.
I've been in music kind of like since I was a kid. My family was heavily musical. My grandparents were a touring country act. My other side was like, they sang in the local choir. It was just kind of like music was just always there. And it's always been like a deep, deep piece of me. And I started playing trumpet when I was like 5 or 6, and then piano, and then kind of just went around a bunch of different instruments. And that always followed me into college. And I was always a big part of my life. Like part of my scholarship was to play jazz. And I was doing that and then working to, you know, to go through that. But my focus was in mental health and medicine because I was trying to get a real job to no one expects to ever get a record deal. And so I was doing that, and I kind of went through, I became a PSR and a target case manager for Medicare and Medicaid. Through some mental health institutes in Washington and Idaho, and got really deep into that, went into my residency program. And then I ended up winning a pretty high profile singer-songwriter contest in 2008. That was part of VH1 Save the Music, which ended up getting me a lot of attention and a manager. And then I ended up signing a deal with, you know, a part of Warner Brothers and through Rockridge Music. And my life really changed. I remember calling my dad and saying, hey, you know, all those Parent Plus loans and all the stuff we did to get here through med school, I'm gonna go play guitar now. And, you know, he basically had a seizure. But my dad, to his credit, you know, has always been just incredibly supportive on all of the things that I've tried to do. So basically since that time, I've been doing, you know, large scale publishing, licensing and sync, producing, being an artist, touring, ghostwriting for other people, writing for other publishers, just heavily in the music industry on in all pieces. And that was really what my life was for a long time until the pandemic came. And like everyone else in entertainment, my career got, you know, shut down almost entirely. the second that it was announced. And it was, for me, it was really, upsetting. I just signed like my newest deal, and it was one of the larger ones, probably the largest of my career. And I had like my first like magazine cover and a bunch of other stuff, and things were really moving well. And it was about 6 weeks later when we got the notification that all of our tours were canceled for the year. And it was pretty devastating. I just had a son. My son was born that March. And then I had a 3-year-old at the time. They're 3 and 6 now. But and so other than that, touring and music stuff, I was doing a lot of like sync for TV or scoring for film and TV. And so, I was like, okay, well, I can fall back on that. And Hollywood got shut down too during the pandemic. So it became
Right.
real, real fast. And I'd been working on this idea of Cosmic Wire. I didn't have a name at that time, for the better part of a decade. And this really just kind of kickstarted it. And I was like, well, I'm just going to dive full into this, because I'd always had this idea about kind of like roping in blockchain for kind of like derivative royalty usage, IP collection, around like these kind of immersive environments. Because the thing that I'd learned through the music industry over the last like 15 years or so is that the music's almost become free. And the artists and the people that are in the middle of it are what the sticky environment is. It's people get attached to all the anecdotal stuff, and the songs and all the stuff is kind of a hook to bring you into their life so they can get closer to you. And that's just really the change in social networks and how the zeitgeist has moved throughout the time, through time. And so my idea was like, by creating these more immersive environments, and then tying it into blockchain, we could scale artists, give them a transparent way to collect royalties, and also bring people back into that community with all these kind of advances in XR technology and so forth. And at that time, at the start of the pandemic, I was working on a record with an artist that I grew up with as a kid, Afro Man, who had the song "Because I Got High." And he was in my basement in Washington State, and we got stuck there for a little bit. We were recording his tracks and doing a bunch of like immersive stuff and some esports things and other kinds of things. And it was really the genesis of Cosmic Wire, that has
And
just.
while he's living in your basement during this time. So this is classic entrepreneurism, rock music. I mean, it's everything, right? It's just this cosmic ride, basically, right?
And that's what it was. And then the company just started exploding. And so my wife and my like 4-week-old son and my 3-year-old daughter just drove down to LA and like left our house, and we were coming down for a couple weeks just to do meetings, and we never went back. So it's literally been like that. We got a hotel, and then we were like, wow, we have to like stay here because it was just going so fast. So we just moved here, and my house was just sitting there in Washington, which it still is, and my dad lives there, and he was like mowing the lawn and taking care of it and things like that. But it's been the most just insane experience of my life. But when I look back at like everything that Cosmic Wire is, it really is like weaving like the science and the stuff that came out of like the medical side. Because what I was really doing there was, learning just how awful these systems are, because they're segregated, where you have like ERs are not talking to GPs, and GPs are not talking to insurance companies, and there's different region codes across the country, and there's no symmetry for anything. And so it's just a mess. And that was the same thing I saw in the music industry, with like all my royalty collections from publishing, licensing, and sync, and trying to track down royalties and going through audits and managers and all the obfuscation. And it's these broken systems of collection around all of these kind of like IP centers that really resonated with me. And with my tech stuff, when I first started in Silicon Valley, the first thing I worked on, and it was baptism by fire, was the SAP implementation team at Nokia. So that was like the very, very start of all these ledger-based systems, where we were trying to, basically put checkbooks into digital, databases and JWT tokens and things like that. And so I kind of smashed all that together, and I'd been in blockchain, since the genesis. I mean, I've been a degen as long as degens have been around. And so when I saw all this, I instantly like just thought, this is just the next iteration of systems that we can go and put around IP centers to run all of their businesses. And it scales everything. It's transparent. We can create zero trust environments and have people sign on both sides of dynamic deals, and tying that around artists to give them transparency into their business so that it can build businesses. It was really the genesis. But then it just went everywhere. We're with the military. We're doing infrastructure with like large-scale distribution companies like AWS and Google. We have massive IP partners, and it's just really scaled in a way that's overwhelming, but also super inspiring because everyone's kind of seeing the same thing. So it's been an
Yeah.
interesting journey for sure.
So what we basically have is a guy that looks like he's in the set for Wayne's World in a basement, trapped with another guy who is just exploding all this technology and all this brain work that you did going through medical school and going through the music business. You know, it seems to me that one of the things that you've unleashed is ultimately a way to democratize exchanges on the internet. In other words, keeping them transparent and keeping them honest and accountable. Because in my brief experience in the 90s in the music business, artists continually complained about the deals they had with record labels, that they were not equitable, that they couldn't find or keep their royalties, that they were not making money the way they should have. And so a lot of people were moving off of one label to the next, and there's all this churn because they didn't feel like they were getting a fair deal. And it ultimately sounds to me like what you're building is a correction to that, so that you're going to unleash networks, viral networks that will allow that to happen transparently and ethically, so everyone is whole in the system. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is that in this new iteration, and this is, I believe this is like the true genesis or the true thought behind what the internet was. It's this interconnected network where we would all come together and share information and ideas and everyone would grow together. Unfortunately, that got turned into kind of rabbit holes and click funnels and predatorial companies that are basically buying and selling our data and our interests. And that's what this has turned into. What really I came from the vantage point of an artist, but in this new internet, I think all people are creators. Everyone is. I mean, and that's what it is right now. Everyone that's on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, it doesn't matter, X, I guess. Whatever it is that you're using, like if you have 5, 10, 15,000 followers and you're talking about a shampoo or eating a drinking a Red Bull or whatever it is, like you're basically an advertising tool, and that's how people have been using our data. And this whole thing is about taking that back because we should control our data. And from the point of the medical, it's like, why aren't we controlling our own medical records? Why don't we have access to that? Why don't we have autonomy over our systems? Or if it's, your bank accounts, why am I living in someone else's database? Why are the deeds to my house sitting out here that where things are hacked and all these systems get compromised? Or if just what you talked about as an artist, why am I not able to see my royalties? Why do I have to go through all these obfuscated smoke screen? Because the truth is, everyone's skimming and lying, and that's kind of like the meat in all of these systems. And there's an entire business of that, right? And the pushback against these kind of systems, as I've learned, has been like, well, we're going to come in and create transparency and efficiency, but that's going to definitely impact their bottom line, in a very impactful way. But the education process is that if we implement the system and if we collect all of these nickels and pennies that are out there, and if we are more transparent with our record, and if we empower people, what it does is create more symmetry across the whole system. And it really is an all ships rise thing where everyone makes more money. It's more efficient if everything is working more efficiently, right? And if you can get past the scare tactic of, AI is going to take jobs, no, AI is going to accelerate jobs and make all of our lives more efficient if used correctly. We're not replacing things, we're augmenting things, right? And that's what humans have been doing since the start of time. Everything that we're doing, from going from fire to light switches to microwaves to air conditioning, it's all about enhancing our experience. And what comes out of that is like the evolution of where we're going, which is this next kind of digital revolution. And so I really think that we're on this just constant trajectory. And the more that we can create systems of efficiency for people to go and control their autonomy and control their data and make their own sovereign kind of autonomous self, it makes for a larger economy for the world because everyone can transact in a safe and secure environment. And it really is removing the kind of like malarkey that's been in the middle of these systems the whole time. Because there's an entire business in all of these fields, from medical to commodities to music to any of these things, that is just on creating obfuscation and creating like a leverage positions to go and like milk that in between. And that's what this is getting rid of. And that's why it's so impactful. So yeah, it's built for artists, but really all people are creators in this new world. Like what we're doing right now, right? This is
Right.
your, it's the same thing.
Now, I mean, you have an excellent way of describing very complex things in ways that people like me can understand them. So I'm going to repeat back what I was reading earlier today on your website, and then I want your translation of this. So, Cosmic Wires at the forefront of Web3 innovation and blockchain solutions with proprietary technology and decentralized applications that provide a distinctive infrastructure in the backbone operating system powering today's Web3 ecosystem. So for the person who's trying to figure out the impact of all these new technologies and what's happening with Web3, how would you distill that statement down to those of us who are just embracing how profound the changes in technology that are being ushered in are going to make on our way of life and our way of doing business?
Yeah, no, it's a complex question, but I think that the biggest problem that we've had with blockchain in general is that it was too much tech. I mean, it is super exciting for a person on the inside that's like building and watching these systems get out and talk about it, but to the average person, no one cares. I
Right.
say this anecdote a lot, but people when they get a Ferrari, they want to drive the car. They don't necessarily care how it's put together. We use Visa every single day of our life. No one understands the Visa network system, which is not a lot different than this, right? But we've got caught up in seed phrases and wallets and like swaps and all this stuff that just scares people because it's an entirely new nomenclature. It's an entirely new language around stuff that really doesn't matter. And my thesis for the company was technology functions best when you can't see it. Right. It's like we just want to
Right,
like
when it's
go and
ubiquitous and it's quiet, right.
right. And so Cosmic's, whole mentality as we went forward was to use blockchain in a way that would be interoperable. We're not stuck on an island. Like my first thing with the company was like, we're building bridges, we're building connections, we're dendrites. We're not trying to be the platform. We're the thing that allows all platforms to work because this idea that you're going to go and buy a Ford truck with Ford coin and a Chevy truck with Chevy coin, and there's no way for that stuff to go without this like amorphous kind of like coagulated process is nonsense. Like people just want to transact, and it's what you're trading for is the value, not the thing that you're trading, right? And that there's in this whole like thing in the middle. And so when you say words like NFT and blockchain, people's eyes glaze over. Metaverse, like, oh, it's all just garbage, or it's a pink stock scam, or it's, an ICO. I mean, whatever it is, it's just got because it was. I mean, it really got tainted. But we were always building infrastructure. Like the SAP stuff I was talking about, I'm like, this is Ledger. We can plug systems into this, put variables to it, and do entire tables for functions, just like people do in Excel or JWTs now or any other system. And that's what blockchain is. It is guided ledger driven by smart contracts. Those smart contracts are driven by us, you and I. The same thing like we just did when we did this Zoom meeting where you said, do I agree to be recorded? Yes, I do. That's going up and being written, called in some kind of database where it allows that function to happen. We can put that
Right.
entire thing on blockchain. And that's all that this is. Right. And it's not this like light switch moment into Web3. It's a constant evolution of us becoming more efficient. And so when I talk about that, what we created was an interoperable solution. We have the patent on a thing called interchain messaging. It was probably one of the biggest things inside of my company. What that is our technology speaks to all chains at all times, right? Because it doesn't matter. We are literally that piece of data that can communicate with everything at the same time, all the way over to crypto, all the way over to fiat, because that's what people want. They want to be able to go into 7-Eleven and buy a Gatorade or a Snickers or jerky or pay for their gas and not care how that process is happening. And that's what we've been focused on because the technology is supremely powerful if you don't get hung up in the tech of the technology and just let people use it. And so that's what we've been focused on.
That's a big uptake because what you're saying basically is that technology is going to ultimately be more understood by more people because it's going to be out of the way. And what's going to really happen is you're going to just open up more democratic ways of people to network and people to connect and people to transact business with each other in a way that's transparent and fair and equitable. And that's what makes me really optimistic about the take you have on this. Now, one of the things that Cosmic Wire's been talking about is the power of immersive storytelling in all of this. So, can you speak to that? Because I think ultimately, all these advances in technology in this disrupted world that I keep describing with those who are on the show, it's all about telling the story, right? And so, how would you describe the advances in storytelling and immersive storytelling that are going to come out of this technology and come out of this next digital revolution?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're there, right? The internet, XR, kind of immersive websites, all of this stuff has been around for over a decade. The problem with immersive spaces has always been compute. And that's it doesn't matter, on the receiving side, like if you have an Oculus or whatever it is, like if you have a PlayStation 5 or a gaming PC, like when you receive that application, we have these monstrous machines that are able to do super high fidelity graphics and run these, deep physics systems and AI engines. The problem is how we transmit that data, and that's always been the bottleneck. People have been trying to do cloud-based computing, cloud-based spatial, multi-server instancing, all these kind of different concepts to go and transfer data as much as they possibly can. And we took kind of a unique approach because, I realized that, the power of blockchain was automating the system, but there's like only so many lanes on the freeway still, right? And the only way to get more cars on the freeway is to make smaller cars, right? So we took that approach. My tech stuff, I started in literally year 2000. I graduated in 99. I know I'm old now, but in tech, right? And but the power of like my generation, like literally, the kids that were born in like 1980 through like 1983, I call us the Oregon Trail kids. We are the last generation that is ever going to remember an analog time before this kind of digital, because we lived through it. Like I was in, junior high when internet kind of got turned on and we had our first class, and here's AOL One Disk and like all that. I mean, I remember that stuff vividly. And when I went to work in 2000, down in Silicon, I was living in Mountain View at the time. There were all these like little round tables, and they had, flags like here's Netscape and here's Explorer, and like that was just starting. And I was like, this is going to be crazy. Like, and no one really understood the internet. And we're in that same point right now. When I was first doing kind of all the blockchain
That's
content.
exactly right. We're at this point where it's all happening again, and none of us really truly understands it, which is why I find this conversation so mesmerizing. I mean, you're kind of planting a stake there and saying, well, here's what's actually going on. I really appreciate this.
No, and everyone has their own vantage point. When I started talking about this stuff 3 years ago at all these conferences, or 4 years ago, everyone thought we were crazy because everyone was just running with, NFTs. And like we did a couple drops too because we were a startup and had to stay alive, but we were always building this. And now I go to these conferences and it's only this. Like we were just at CES, and like the entire Web3 division of CES was exactly what we're talking about and what we've been building. And everyone's like, this is spatial compute. And so the point of all that conversation was that, we as a company, early 2000s, heavy, like just old school, like C++, C sharp, a lot of like DCT compression, that the old school fundamental stuff. Because back then, when you were like putting programs together, applications or games or anything, you had no space to work with, right? It was like, we had to fit things onto these floppy drives, and or if like my computer in 2000, my Windows ME machine was like a 233, with like no, probably like nothing in it. And as technology has gotten bigger and more profound, and we have, terabytes of data now, and 96 gigs of RAM in your computer, and just massive amounts of space, people have gotten lazy because there's more room for error, right? And so the genesis for my company was I went out and I found all of those old school DCT guys. My CTO is a triple PhD who has the patent on peer-to-peer networking. He built like the first node-based network. And I just came in with the thesis, like, guys, I want to go back and pretend like we have nothing. Like we've only got, half a gig of RAM, and we have to cram all this stuff in there. And that was the WebGL. It's like we would need to stay under 50 megs because that's when browsers start falling apart in spatial. It's like, how do we get a super high fidelity experience? How do we crack this code to be able to push this? And everyone's been talking about it, but people are using different techniques. We went back just to do fundamental basketball, and I brought in the best compression guys that I possibly could. I have an entire team of that. And that was our first kind of genesis thing into like that world. We had our interchain messaging that we could go anywhere, and like, how do we take that and let it be able to transmit really high fidelity experiences. And so we did, and we started getting like 30 to 50% optimizations on top of all known methods, because we're running everything like Adobe and GhostScript and all the library-based systems that everyone else is, but we're also doing our own kind of like surgical work. And that led me to a company that I found out of Israel, called Mantis, and they had invented a thing called the depth lens about 10 or 15 years ago, which is on every cell phone on Earth, and it's what determines foreground from background. And in their algorithm for that, they had a temporal compression in a file format that they had been working on. And so I started talking to them. We ended up purchasing that original algorithm, that IP, and we brought those original Mantis guys into our crew, and created like our own kind of like nexus and just glued all this together. And what came out of it was a universal file format called RISC, RYSK, that we took their stuff and turned it into a generic volumetric file format, which is spatial compute, 3D objects, and compressed it with our engine to the tune of getting a 90 to 99% optimization on OBJ sequences, which are 3D objects, on all known methods on planet Earth. And we patented that technology and turned it into an infrastructure play so we can send out these massively high fidelity environments over a website, because that is the future of spatial compute.
That is the future right there, is high fidelity, high speed, high quality, high resolution, all of that. That is next gen. That is totally next gen. You've been listening to me, Ron Stefanski on Disrupt Ed, talking with Jared Fink, who's about to explode the internet with some of the high-powered technology and Web3 innovations he has unleashed at Cosmic Wire. Please give us your feedback. Give us your likes, share this broadly, because I think more and more all of us need a primer like this, although it's a little head spinning, on how this is all going to work. Because when you clear the air and when the dust settles, what I come to, Jared, and I'd like to hear how you'd summarize this in your closing comments, is I hear a world that's ultimately more optimistic, that's not as fearsomely anxiety ridden about the future of AI, the potential for misinformation. What you're really doing is clearing the clouds in the way for a blue sky future, if I'm not mistaken.
I absolutely think that I'm incredibly optimistic about all this. I remember it reminds me of, to a lesser extent, in music, like when auto-tune kind of first started permeating. It was like, oh, no one has to sing anymore, and no one needs
Right.
talent. But what really came out of that was that now anyone can be a musician, right? And there's something really beautiful about that, because there's all kinds of arbitrary anecdotal things that impact humans, and I've said this a lot. Like the best violin player is probably pushing a plow somewhere in some third world country that we will never discover, right? I mean,
Right.
on my street alone, like I am a endorsed professional guitar player, musician. There's probably a better guitar player, blocks away from me that will just not get the same circumstances or options or opportunities that led me down my path. And that's where I think that this is coming together, is we are creating kind of a we're raising the floor. Like I've always thought there's not a lot you can do with kind of the malarkey on top, but what you can do is impact the bottom, and that forces the top to adjust. And that's the mentality that we've taken, is by creating this technology, we can go and use existing infrastructure to allow access it at a global level that hasn't been there before. And that's what's coming out of this. So the blue sky is like, yeah, AI is coming, but AI is like a tool to be used, right? And we're creating infrastructure that AI can leverage. Like with our technology, with one of our patents, it's called uniform mesh, that basically allows for static coordinates over moving 3D objects at a very macro level. We can now use AI in 3D design, and it's been a huge bottleneck. And we created it as a production tool, because what that does then is, in the same iterative cycle for production people, you get more iterations, right? Instead of three works this year, we can do 50. And what does that do at a macro level? That's human creativity and genesis and everything else that's going on.
Right.
It's the scalability of us as a people. And so as we build more infrastructure and more interoperable technologies, Cosmic is not the driver of the forefront of this. Like in my vision, I think Cosmic is like Intel or Microsoft, where we've created baseline architecture, and people are going to take this in all kinds of crazy macro, fractal expressions of this thing. And that's the exciting piece about it. So I think it's absolutely blue sky, because even the people that I'm working with inside of my network, they're going all over the place and creating all this crazy stuff.
Right.
And it's just starting. And I think it's amazing. Like the fear is just I think largely based in ignorance, and the ignorance is largely based because we're not doing a good job talking about what this is. All we're talking about are all the things that it isn't. And when you posit things in that kind of a discussion, you're losing the focus. And I think that's because there isn't one. I think people are just kind of inventing things right now, and we've been super focused on just like, let's deliver real utility and application and show people how this can positively impact systems they're already using with technology they already have. And if we can do that effectively, then it scales. And that's the whole idea.
That is totally a blue sky. So thank you, Jared, so much for joining us today. This has been another edition of Disrupt Ed, where we have talked to the seemingly ordinary people in their basements talking about a blue sky future that's infused by the promise of technology unplugged, exploded, and on Web3 innovations and platforms to come. So thank you for joining us. Share your feedback, share your comments, share this show with others, and we'll see you on another edition of Disrupt Ed. Thanks so much.